You're listening to a recording of a Bible study given at Calvary Fellowship in downtown Ottawa. For more information about our church, please visit us on the internet at calvaryottawa.ca. And now, let me invite you to open your mind, your heart, and your Bible for today's study.
So what a joy. I think back to 2005, if the date was right. I think that was at the Dalhousie Center. I was just trying to think of all the places. I think from there it was the Bronson Center, right? Some of you might went there. And then trying to think, then Jack Purcell, the Y, then Jack Purcell, then the Baptist Church downtown, then back to the Y, and then here. And so I can tell you very clearly that I have spoken at every single location. So don't move in the next year, because I only get invited every 2 years, so. Anyways, I just had a vivid picture in my mind as we were worshiping, and when I have the privilege of speaking different places, I try not to completely rehash an old message, though that's easy to do, right? Because I'm sure most of you aren't logging on to my website to hear me, so it would be fresh material for you. But I think the best thing to do is, in preparation, just praying and ask, what does God want to say to Calvary Ottawa? And asking the Holy Spirit. And I just had a real sense this week, just praying, that the Lord wanted to encourage you guys in faith, in living a life of faith. And I hope, even if it's just one person in this room, that you will be encouraged to live a greater life of faith. It's kind of been a little bit of a journey for myself, thinking in my thoughts the last couple of months. You kind of hit midlife. I'm 45. I don't really have a desire to be ordinary in the things of God, but I would truly desire that He would use me wherever I am in a supernatural way. And sometimes life gets pretty ordinary, you know what I mean? Like, you go to work, you come back, you cook, you clean. For us, we had 9 kids, and there was always something to do, and, you know, it got survival maintenance really ordinary, right? And as I've got older, and I've thought, I had all these dreams of doing all these wonderful things for God. I don't know if anyone's thought like that, but that's just how I think. Like, oh God, and I'm going to come to Canada, and we're going to have a revival, and I'm in a church of 6,000, but I'm a community of 6,000, but I thought I'd have a church of 6,000, so those dreams have kind of faded a little bit. But then I still have that tug that God wants to do something incredible, but I get tired in thinking about that sometimes. God, you've promised this. God, I know you want to increase my faith so you can do amazing things, but I'm tired, and sometimes it just seems so ordinary. I don't know if you've ever been there, but I really believe that God has for each of us a supernatural plan, and if we'll choose to believe it, that we can grow in to do wonderful and supernatural things exactly where we are. And I just want to encourage you in that. And maybe if I stopped now and sat down, that would be good, right? But God wants to increase your faith every day. God wants you to grow and trust Him more and more and more. God wants you to know that He is all-powerful and that He can work in the relationships in your life to do supernatural things, that He can use you in your workplace to spread Jesus, that God's desire is that none should perish in your community, in your life, and He wants to use you. So I was thinking about that, and I just wanted to give you 2 encouragements in faith, and maybe sometimes when it's a little more practical, right, we can grab hold of them and say, yeah, I want to increase my faith, but tell me how, right? How does Scripture tell me to increase my faith? But I wanted to start in Jeremiah just to say that we read something in the Old Testament. I know you guys are in the New Testament, I think you're teaching, but I really believe the Old Testament has so many stories and types to just bring forth the principles of the New Testament. How many of you know the prophet Jeremiah? And I think Jeremiah was a wonderful example, kind of what I'm talking about. Probably, you know, God was going to use me in amazing ways, but what happens is he had God's word delivered to him and he gave it, but in a lot of ways, there wasn't what we call a lot of fruit going on. Actually, because when Jeremiah spoke God's words to the people who were rebelling, they didn't like him at all. And they wanted to, well, basically kill him. Kings throw him in prison, wells. And I think it would be easy to get frustrated. And at the beginning of his ministry in Jeremiah chapter 12, he was, I think, pretty frustrated because in his hometown and of Anath, he was speaking God's message. And all of a sudden, they wanted to kill him. And that'll test your faith, right? Okay, God, you want me to say something? And, you know, we kind of live in a society like, oh, everything's rainbows and lollipops when God works. And it's just so wonderful. And when I have faith, it will just be so great. But sometimes it gets pretty stinky, right? Because people don't believe the way we do. And that's what Jeremiah was doing. And he's kind of have all these questions for God in chapter 12. And you know, listen, I've said what you wanted me to say, and this isn't going so well. And the Lord answers him in verse 5 and says this of chapter 12 of the book of Jeremiah. If you have run with the footmen and they have wearied you, then how can you contend with horses? Anyone read that verse before? Maybe a few of you, maybe even heard a sermon on that. And I'm not going to sit down and really, it's just kind of a vaulting place for us this morning. But God's basically saying, you know, if you're tired in the ordinary, how are you going to do the supernatural? You know, if you're exhausted just doing the regular, like just running with the footmen, running with men, well, how are you going to run with horses? Because that's God's intention, and I think that's God's intention in our life, but I can tell you, like my little story before, in my dreams and difficult and ordinary, oh man, we get tired, right? Just doing regular running with people. But God says, listen, I want you to run with the horses, which is physically impossible, correct? We can't keep up with a horse. And you know, you can change that and go into Isaiah. Actually, as we wait and rest upon the Lord, we're to fly with the eagles. That's supernatural to me. That's not something we can do. And as we look at that and have that kind of faith, and the Lord saying to Jeremiah, like, hold on, because I have so much for you, but you're weary in the ordinary. And maybe that's you as well this morning. You know that God has called you to more. And I would just encourage you, don't think necessarily, you know, sometimes we think supernatural and healings and the gifts of the Spirit. And I think all of that is hugely important. And I believe that with all my heart. But I think we need to be supernatural in our homes, in relationships, in our marriages, with our children, in our workplace, that we can be completely not ordinary in how we deal with people, in how we share our faith, because God has so much supernatural in the ordinary that it will blow our mind. And the interesting thing is, as we find the ability to move the mountains in our life, we see that God will use us in greater and greater ways. But sometimes we're looking up here and God's saying, I want you to be supernatural right here. I want you to be supernatural right where I've put you, in that little community of Perth, in Lanark County, with hardly any people, because Dan, I'm going to do a work there. And the question is, do you believe me? Do you trust me? Do you have faith? So in your Bible, let's jump to the New Testament and learn just a couple things here. Maybe Luke 17, let's start there. Because the disciples, they saw faith as really important are the apostles, and they were hanging out with Jesus. So in Luke 17, they simply say this to Jesus in verse 5. The apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. You ever said that to God? You're praying? God, this is short and sweet today. I don't got a long list of prayer. Just help me to grow in my faith. Just help me to truly believe. Can you just not only help me, but show me how to do that? And Jesus has this amazing response. If you have faith as a mustard seed in verse 6, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. And then he's going to go on to a little story, but basically he says faith is really, really important. And sometimes, you know, we believe and the Bible teaches, and it's so true, Romans, if we have faith, we'll be saved. If we believe and confess that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved, right? So when we talk to our friends or in church, there's a salvation message. We say, you've got to believe in your heart, right? That's where the whole journey starts. You believe that Jesus came, died, rose again, right? And sometimes we teach it so well, but we forget it's a continual journey. It's not faith in one point of your life that God wants you to have faith in him. You come to know him, you start this relationship, but then it continues, but we put it in a room or a compartment. We say, yeah, I believe in God. Yeah, I'm a Christian. Back to my ordinary life. But I hear, think that Jesus is saying, you know what? The ceiling of faith is huge. It's massive. And it's a continual journey each and every day where God wants to expand you and grow you. And you started in belief, but he's saying he wants you to grow and grow and grow and grow and grow and grow. Now, there's a lesson in here, but it's going to be my second lesson. So we'll wait on that one. If you have your Bible, that practical lesson in Mark, if you want to turn to Mark chapter 9. How can we grow if Jesus wants to grow and he wants to increase our faith? You probably know this story well in Mark chapter 9, seeing as Andy teaches the Bible right through, right? But it's a story when Jesus comes back, he sees his disciples, he comes down from the Mount Transfiguration, and they're kind of arguing with some Pharisees in Mark chapter 9 because there's a boy who's demon-possessed, and they can't heal the boy, yet Jesus supposedly has given them all power. You remember that story? And Jesus is so funny, he comes down and they're kind of arguing with the Pharisees and they can't heal this boy. And he answers them in verse 19 and says, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you?" I wonder what Jesus thinks of our faith. That's what he said to his disciples. Well, faithless generation, how long shall I be with you and bear with this? Bring me the boy. Then they brought him to him, verse 20, and they saw him immediately on the spirit convulsed him. That would be the demon on the ground. He wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he said to the father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. And often he has thrown both into the fire, into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help him. And Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. So we see this ceiling, right? Like, we can't help this boy. And the father comes. This is so hard. Ordinary life. My son is sick and possessed, and I don't know what to do. And Jesus says, well, if you believe, anything's possible. Now, sometimes I'm like, yeah, right. I've been in situations where I've tried to help people who are sick. I've been to the hospital. I've prayed for them. That's what I do for a living. I've been with the couple who's getting divorced. I've been in those situations, and I believe God. And I don't know if you've ever said this, but what is going on? It doesn't seem like that. I prayed and I prayed and I believe and they still get divorced and they still die. And God, what's going on? Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Have you ever just cried that out yourself? Yeah, God, I believe in you, but this help me to truly believe in you more for what you have for me. Then Jesus rebukes the unclean spirit, deaf and dumb spirit. I command you, come out of him and enter him no more. The spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, came out of him and became as one dead. And many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast it out? So he said to them, this kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. First practical lesson. Here it is. Every time there's a problem, let's throw a prayer meeting. I'm just joking. Do you have time for that sometimes? Do you ever think about like what Jesus says sometimes? Like, what was he saying? Okay, this possessed boy, this dad, they come and we can't get him out. Okay, let's stop right now. You come back tomorrow. You come back in 48 hours. The church is going to gather. We'll pray. And then you bring him back and we'll be ready to go. The father had a great need in the moment at the time. Do you see that? Could you imagine? Someone comes, oh, you know, we need some counseling. Time out. I know you're here, session one. But in 3 weeks, come back and I'll have the church fast and pray for this. Now, I'm saying that's all good, but I don't think that's what he was referring to here. He's saying you have no faith. The father's saying, I need more faith. They privately say, why can't I do this? He says, you need to be praying and fasting. And maybe you've heard this before, but can I tell you lesson one? We need to live a lifestyle of praying and fasting for when the situations come, that our faith might be strong to exert it into the situation. How can I put it more clearly to you? If you are not walking with Jesus every day, when stress comes, your faith will fail. You see, faith is fueled by a friendship with our Lord. You want a practical step in growing in your faith? May I tell you, you need to abide in Him. So the lifestyle is simply like this. God, I'm with you. I'm resting in you. My life is about you. I'm continually praying. I'm practicing your presence, right? I do fast because the Gospels say that I should. It doesn't say if you fast. It says when you fast. I don't know if you've noted that before. And I like my food. But it's this lifestyle of being with Jesus each and every day that we struggle with because we are so busy and we are so distracted and we don't know the intimacy with our Savior. So that's, again, when we're squeezed, there's nothing we can lean back on and we don't exert any faith. I am a firm believer that discipleship is simply being with Jesus. And that God is calling each and every one of you into a deeper relationship with Him of simply growing in your friendship with God. And as you are with Him, you know Him. And as you know Him and His power, you can live it. Do you guys understand that? Because we're a society sometimes that gets so busy with rabbit trails here and there and everywhere, or we do good things, but in doing the good things, we forget the best thing. See, Martha was serving, right? She was doing a very good thing. But Jesus made it very clear, Mary has chosen the better part, to simply sit at my feet. And when we sit at the feet of Jesus throughout our day, we increase in our knowledge of him and our faith of him. I think, unfortunately, sometimes in the church, we have way too many activities. And we don't have enough time with the one we love. Let's go back to the Old Testament just for a second to show this out. Abraham was called the father of faith, right? You know Abraham, Old Testament, leave your home. Okay, that's a big faithful decision, right? I'm going to leave everything I know. I'm going to go a new land. I'm going to get there. He had ups and downs. Sarah, my beautiful wife. Well, I'm worried. She's my sister. A little fib, right? And then it goes up again, and he sends Lot with the better land, and he succeeds because he trusts in the Lord, and I have faith in God. And then he has another slip, and then finally the big test, when he finally receives his son that he's been waiting for, being faithful for, God says, sacrifice him, and he shows incredible faith, right? And that's why we say Abraham is this father of faith, that he grew in his relationship with the Lord, and he had to give this greatest thing that he loved, but he was willing to do it because he had extraordinary faith. And he even said that God will resurrect him from the dead because I believe him so much, it says in Hebrews. But just to kind of make my point, this faith that was displayed, you know what it calls Abraham in the book of James? Anyone know? It calls him the friend of God. I don't know if you ever thought of a friendship. Think of your good friends. What do you do with friends? A good friend? What would you do with a good friend? You would spend time with a good friend. Oh, you're like my best friend. You know, sometimes my wife, we're best friends. I tell you everything. What kind of marriage would it be if we never spent any time together? What kind of marriage would it be if we never talked together? What kind of best friend would that be? I couldn't tell you. Well, I know my wife. My wife is Amy. I can tell you all about her here. I think she's amazing. She's beautiful. She loves Jesus. I can tell you what she likes, what she dislikes. I can tell you a lot of things because I spent a lot of time with her. And we pray together and we talk together. And even this morning, we walk the dogs together. We're just together and talking about, how do you feel about that? How do you feel? Are you feeling going? Are you nervous? Okay, this is what you can do at church. And how are the kids? And we just talk and communicate because truly she is my best friend. But God would say he desires to be our best friend. Now let's put it together. As I spend time with him, I'm in his presence, as I'm resting with him, as I'm waiting upon him, as I'm just continually enjoying who he is in separate private times and throughout the day, I will grow in my faith. Does it make sense to you? But oftentimes we complain, I can't do it, God. I can't handle this situation. And I believe he would say to you this morning, well, that situation can only be dealt with by being with me, by communicating, praying, by letting go of yourself. Practically, you need to be with Jesus to grow with him. You need to know him and his power, and the ceiling will grow and grow and grow. Secondly, once we have that down, I just want to give you a second simple application to grow in your faith. And back to Luke 17, increase our faith. Okay, if you have this faith, you can tell this little thing to move, this bush with great roots, they say, it'll be no problem. And you think about that, there's no way we can do that. And now Jesus is going to tell us how to do that. And he's going to give us a great story of how to have more faith. And that's what he does. He tells them a story. And he says, which of you having a servant plowing or tending sheep will say to him when he comes in from the field, 'Come at once and sit down to eat.' But will he not rather say to him, 'Prepare something for my supper, and gird yourself, and serve me till I have eaten and drunk, and afterwards you will eat and drink.' Does he thank the servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I think not. So likewise you, when you have done all these things which are commanded, say, 'We are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do.'" That's the great teaching on having more faith? What? I like the other one. You know, it's kind of like, being with Jesus and just soaking it in. But what is this, a servant? All it talks about is work. That's what he's saying. Go work in the field, and then when you come in, cook my dinner. And when you're done that, you can think about yourself. And I ain't going to say thank you, neither. Right? Because that's just what you're supposed to do. All right, here we go. I'm teaching on the words of Jesus in our church, and I'm like, some of what he says is just hard. Right? But I'm going to tell you, because there's just a wonderful transition here. He said, okay, here it is. You want more faith? Here's what he's saying. Just do what I say. What? You know, obedience is kind of a bad word today. We don't like that in the church. Oh, yes, God's love. Let's talk about grace some more. And listen, I'm probably the guy who teaches on grace. I think I've been to Calvary 5 or 6 times. I think I taught on grace 5 times. But here, you want more faith. I love this. He just says, obey. Here's the book. You want to see radical, supernatural work of God? Simply this, do it his way and do what he says. You know, Jesus was pretty big on obedience. Remember the wise man building his house and the foolish? And one built on the sand and one built on the rock. And the wise one who built on the rock, you know what Jesus says? It's the one who heard and what? Did my word. The foolish one heard, but did not do what I said. We want to see radical moves of faith. We want to see faith in our life. But sometimes we don't want to do what Jesus says. And it fits right along with Luke 17, because if you look at the flow of the chapter right before there, he talks about forgiving offenses. So basically, if someone hurts you and comes and says sorry, what do you have to do? They say sorry, you got to be like, I forgive you, right? Oh, that's so easy. You ever been really hurt? Hello? You ever been really hurt? I've never been in a church where someone's not been hurt. Right? You ever been really hurt? Yes. Oh, man. And then Jesus said, oh, just forgive them. What? And sometimes we give it like lip service. I forgive you. The next time we see them, we're like, I'm going the other way. What are you talking about, forgive? Or like my kids, I'm sorry. Okay, tell me you forgive them. I forgive them. The next moment, one child's clobbering the other one. But I said I was sorry. Now, just in the flow of the chapter, you want, what is faith? And you know, the ceiling is so high, but we have to do simply what Jesus says. And simply just think about, even in the flow, as I said, relationships. Do you know how many bitter people are in the church that their faith is stunted because they haven't forgiven those around them? We live with people who live in anger and bitterness, and they medicate with work or drugs or whatever, you name it, good things, bad things, even service, because they haven't forgiven. And yet God says, I want to increase your faith, but you're totally stunted because you're not doing what I've asked you to do, to simply forgive, because I've forgiven you. And we say, I want more, but I don't want to do that. That's just one example, by the way. And it's one that flowed in the chapter, but one I think that's important for you today. God, when I do your work. I want to see supernatural things. Am I simply obeying him every day in what he asked me to do? And obviously there's grace there to forgive us. But grace is always there to empower us to do what Christ says, that we might grow to see his work done wherever you live. And the encouragement today is, you can do it. Who lives in you? Jesus does, through the power of his Holy Spirit. You have all power to do what he has said because he has given you his Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus Christ. It lives in you. It's given you all power to simply do what he said. And as you do what he says and you are with him, you will know, and then people will see fruit. That's supernatural. Where are you today? Are you tired for doing the ordinary? For running with the footmen? And Jesus is saying, I want you to run with the horses. He wants to take each one of you and do amazing things through your life. If you will simply rest in his presence and do what he says. And I'm not telling you it's easy. I'm telling you have the capacity because he lives in you. But the hard part is simply this. You need to die to yourself. You need to die to yourself. And as he takes over, his power will overflow your life. You see, that is truly the Spirit-filled life. When your cup is full and the tap continues to run, it overflows. So his power then, as he's continually in us, overflows us. But do you believe it and trust it and want it this morning? You see, it's not going to happen in a moment in church here today. Going to happen tomorrow morning when you wake up. And he says, do you want to be with me? Do you want to listen to me? Do you want to obey me? Because truly, you will be blessed to do things you could never do on your own. So the picture I started with, and I never told you it was, in worship. I've always had this picture in prayer, just even the last year. I'm kind of like on this beach, maybe because it was winter. I'm starting to like winter less and less, but anyways. And there was like this boat, and I kind of have this picture that God keeps saying, you got to go out into the ocean, into the water in this boat, away from the beach, but I'm really comfortable in the beach. Who isn't, right? He's saying, you gotta get out, you got to get out on the boat with me. You have to trust me. You have to just get away from the shore. And that's hard. And this morning he reminded me, I'm in the boat with you. So though you're leaving what you think is comfortable, I am with you and beside you. So as I go out into that big ocean and away from the things that are comfortable, into the unknown and into the difficult and going deeper, I have to obey to push off, but I have to realize he is with me. And he will never leave me, and he will never forsake me. I guess my encouragement, and I want to leave it with you this morning, is God is asking someone, some of you, to push off from what's comfortable in ordinary life, knowing that Christ is with you because he desires to do the supernatural. Who is it this morning? Because I don't think the Holy Spirit messes with me. That he has had a message to encourage, not to condemn anyone, do you understand? But to encourage you, come with me. I want to change your life through my power to do great things. Be encouraged in faith. Lord Jesus, thank you this morning for your word, your encouragement. Holy Spirit, I love how specific you are no matter where I go. Even if I was at Northgate, I believe that you speak specific messages to specific people at specific times. And I know that there was someone in this room who needed this message, probably first and foremost myself. But if it was you, I pray that you would let go of what is comfortable. And that could be anything. That could be unforgiveness. That can be anger. It can be very comfortable. That could be money. That can be very comfortable. That could be not sharing our faith. That's very comfortable. But God would say, push off. Obey. Be with me. I want to be your friend in a deeper way. I want you to run with the horses, but you have to let go of what you know and what you think is comfortable and do what I say. If that's you, just in your own heart now, just give it to Jesus. Just give it to him. I love even when I come, the words of the song or the family time, letting go of the flesh or things, or being a friend of God when one of the songs. Lord, you had this planned long before Andy even invited me, that you are going to work for your glory, and we praise you today. We give you all glory. We worship you. Thank you, Lord. We pray this in your precious name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. I trust you've been blessed and encouraged. This recording is produced by Dan Woods of Blue Mansion Media. The music is by Afghani Petrenko. My name is Ike Ikagwani. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and give you peace.